This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 51. The Vatican's vampire has a drinking problem. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista,
and I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 51 of our podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, 51. It's a good number. Good time.
Yes. Yeah. It's 9 less than 60.
You are correct. It is.
Which
exactly
is almost half your age, or double your age.
You know what? I would say your mother, but that would be challenging to my mother, so I'm just going to move on. But know that I'm thinking it.
Okay.
Okay, good.
I know.
Fantastic. Let's move on. We've got business to attend to.
All right, what's the business?
It's the normal business. You got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. It'll bounce you to the long address, people, so pimp us to your friends. And if they're too drunk to remember the whole website, just kind of write esh.mobi on their forehead.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you write it backwards.
They can see it in the mirror.
Use a Sharpie.
And don't draw any penises either, because that's not cool.
No penis drawing, especially not on their face.
Yeah.
Totally not cool, people.
Especially in permanent. That's totally not cool.
Totally not cool. And friends don't draw penises on friends' faces.
With permanent marker, at least.
With permanent marker. If you want to use an erasable pen or an washable marker, that's fine. That's hilarity. Not permanent marker, people. People have to go to work the next day.
Yeah, especially when they work with little kids, it's really bad.
Yeah, bad.
Oh, off. Memories.
You are awful. Moving on.
I didn't
admit
to,
nothing.
I was with it.
Admit to nothing, okay?
I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. There you go. Possible deniability. That's what you want. We have to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Velocity Micro, makers of custom-built gaming, mobile, and home PCs. They're built by gamers for gamers. If you're looking for a bomb-ass machine, one that can run the only version of Vista out there worth owning, which is Ultimate, just in case you weren't sure.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. If you don't have the money to pony up and get Vista Ultimate, just fucking stay on XP, people. Save yourself a huge, huge headache. Yeah. But getting back to Velocity Micro.
Because they rock.
They're the exclusive PC that we use for reviewing game titles here at Electric Sisterhood. So, if you need a bomb-ass machine, which, face it, you know you
Everyone
do.
Everyone needs a bomb-ass machine.
You deserve it. If you're going to
I know.
Game,
I deserve it. I do.
Yeah. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And doggone it, people like you.
Yeah, they do.
Especially the folks over at VelocityMicro.com. So hit them up and tell them that the bitches at Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Yeah.
They're not
going
to give you a discount or anything, but, you know, just, you know,
hey, they'll be like,
shout.
Yeah, those girls rock.
Like, yeah,
check
totally
out this
rock
machine.
So you're looking for a 17-inch laptop, huh? Well, come right this way, son. I got a little something for you.
Yeah.
With that said, I only have one last piece of business.
What is it?
We got a candy bitch.
We do?
Finally! We had enough
people man
to actually do a drawing to pull a candy bitch out of the candy bitch hat.
Yay!
Yeah. So,
who is it?
This week's candy bitch, drum roll please, wrong button chan! You got candy!
Wrong button, you win! The candy's good, by the way.
It's delicious. It's M&M's. Who fucking likes M&M's?
Well, people who candy chocolate.
Yeah.
No, they have sugarless chocolate.
Yes, I know they make sugar-free chocolate.
Yeah.
But
wrong button, you win! Yay!
Button.
You win.
So, send us an email.
I like her, she's nice.
Oh, it's somebody you know. Cool.
Yeah.
Send us an email or mail bomb Panda, since you know Panda. obviously.
Yeah, and she probably will.
Hook us up with your mailing address so that we can put your Candy Bitch candy in the mail to you.
Yes! Yay!
And now I'm all done with business. See, it was short business this time. I didn't actually have to elaborate on anything.
That's awesome. I like business when it's short.
Yeah, so that's all the news that's fit to print, kind of talk about. So I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 Truths, which right now looks like a Guitar Hero controller, the wireless one. The awesome.
Because they're awesome.
Yeah. And I'm going to hand it to Pandalicious, who I will concede to you this week is still the Guitar Hero goddess of the group. But I'm working on it. What are you going to do with it?
I'm just going to hold it. Because I like the power.
Okay. Don't let it go to your head, bitch. I'm coming.
I know, right? I'm still only a medium, guys, so I'm not the pure rock goddess. I'm like a demigod. I'm like a lower rock god. You know, I'm in the drums. I'm like in the drums.
Hey!
I haven't made lead guitar yet. That's where I'm headed.
Dude, lead guitar wouldn't have any place to go without somebody keeping the proper pace.
I know. That's true. Yeah, but I'm not like head drummer then. I'm like a lower drum person. I only have like one drum kit.
You get to play the conga drums? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or the triangle?
No, I'm still triangle.
I'm playing the triangle. I freely admit it. I'm the bitch with the tambourines or the triangle of the group.
Hey,
but I'm
tambourines are actually really good for percussion and syncopation. Wow, I paid attention in class. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Edumacation is fun, people.
I love edumacation.
Mm-hmm.
But today I'm actually bringing an anime that I've been watching on Funimation. Don't know why I watch it. I mean, it's very sporadic, the episodes I've can't even know which episodes I've watched. I think it's really stupid. And it makes my brain want to implode.
So it doesn't make you happy in the pants?
No, it doesn't make me happy in the pants.
Well, that's no fun. What the hell is it?
And if it's not a happy pants time, then it's not a happy any time.
It's not super happy fun time?
No, definitely not super happy fun time in Panda's pants. But anyway, that's another podcast.
That's totally another podcast.
Another podcast. I'm bringing a title called Baki the Grappler. And at first, you know, I didn't want to go near it because I don't like the animation style. You know, it's pretty much an all-guy cast except for the very random female character.
Uh-huh.
They're all really beefed up. They're like beefcakes with no necks.
Okay.
And they're all in this underground fighting tournament thing.
Okay.
And the main character, his name is Baki Hamna.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to be the greatest grappler. And he wants to take the...
grappler, yeah. Are you talking like wrestling grappler?
Yes. Yes, okay. Indeed. Indeed you do.
Okay.
So, you know, so in this series, there are two seasons. Each of them have 24 episodes. The first one, obviously, is Baki the Grappler, and the second set of 24 is Baki the Grappler Maximum Tournament. Crap.
Anyway. So how do you really feel about it?
It's crap. No. I mean, if I had caught it from the beginning, maybe I'd like the story, but, you know, Funimation doesn't ever play things in, you know, order.
Where's the fun in that?
Good point. But, I mean, it's not the same kind of unorder as, you know, Haruhi Suzumiya was, where, you know, they purposely did it out of order.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, I'll catch it at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, so, you know, I'm already kind of, like, tired because I can't go to sleep. Pretty much it's just, like, Baki, I will defeat you! And, like, they're all, like I said, they're all superly, you know, beefed up. They all have this particular style of fighting. Some people are karate fighters, some people are wrestlers. There's, like, this one, like, Brazilian warmonger kind of guy.
Okay.
That's the episode I saw last night. And that guy, he was fucked up. And it was just, you know, and, like, at one point they put animals in the pit, so, you know, they fight tigers. You know, and they're, like, bashing tigers' face. And then one guy, like, becomes, like, a demon and, like, changes his form. I mean, it's just crap. And
really?
Baki, Yeah, and Baki's mom. Now, mind you, I've only seen maybe four women thus far in the episodes that I've watched.
Right.
And only two of the women actually look like women. And one of the girls, I don't even know who her name is, but she, like, shows up to these tournaments, and she's connected to Baki. I don't know what her name is, because he never says her name in the episode that I've seen her in. You know, and she's just like, I know you guys think that this is a sport, but I think this is senseless. You know, and he's all like, whatever. And you're like, seriously. You know, but she's like the most feminine girl that I've seen thus far.
Well, then let me ask you this question. Yeah. Since you're talking about the body styles and all the grappling stuff. Is the animation style kind of similar to, like, Fist of the North Star?
It's like overly superimposed Dragon Ball Z.
Ouch.
It's bad. Like, this one guy, who I think is supposed to be, he's the oldest brother out of these two, and the youngest brother made it into this underground fighting tournament thing. And the younger brother knew that, you know, this guy that he was going against was his older brother, or at least from the way that the episode goes, this is what I'm getting from it, because I caught it halfway through. So, you know, the older brother has no idea that they're related, and this man is kicking the shit out of the little turd. You know, and, like, he's bleeding, and, like, he's, like, and Bucky's, like, he gave him a seismic blow to the... It's fatal! And, I mean, it's so stupid.
Oh,
it is so stupid, you know. And the brother's sitting there, and he's all, like, either you win this tournament, or you keep your brother alive. You know, and the older brother's, like, shocking face. You know, because, like, his face actually was a lot more feminine than... some of the women I've seen, but
bad. That's really bad.
You know, and he's sitting there in his, like, bikini shorts, you know, the bicycle shorts that wrestlers wear, superimposed with muscles, and he sits there, and the guy that he's just beating the crap out of, he gives this big hug to, and he's like, if I have to answer that question, you don't know me. You know, and everyone's like, this battle has been decided in a reunion of brothers. I mean, it is so stupid. And I was like, what? Like, what? I'm like, who made this? Who made this?
Did you make this stinky on the rug? Answer me!
Seriously, it hurt my soul to watch. It
Damn.
Really did. And mind you, this is at 3 a.m, so, you know, I'm kind of glad that, you know, short-term memory, you know, makes it so I don't remember everything. Because, like, seriously, you know, it's just wrong. And I don't know why Funimation would touch it. Maybe there are some boys out there who want to see overly imposed men beating the crap out of each other, wearing barely anything most of the time.
No, because there's decent yaoi out there.
I know, right? This is not even yaoi. This is, we're super... you know, super buff men kicking the crap out of each other. You know, like, you know, there are some animes that are definitely male-oriented, you know, like Cromartie High School, which I loved, by the way. Yeah. I thought Cromartie High School was funny.
I didn't, this, but, you know. That's
see, I did. I totally did. But, I mean, compared to this, you would love Cromartie High School.
Okay.
Like, you would want to take it out on a date and pay.
Yeah, that means that it's the most stinky piece of shit of anime ever on the planet.
Oh, man. I mean, I bet there are going to be people out there who absolutely love it, and maybe if I've seen it from the beginning, I'd understand the story, and maybe I would like it a little bit more. I don't
know. No, that's not true, because I picked up Gantz almost at the
end
of it.
I loved Gantz!
And absolutely fell in love with it. And
the ending of Gantz fucked me over. I was pissed.
The ending of Gantz fucked everybody over.
Yeah, but the manga actually goes a lot further.
Well, I haven't seen the manga, but...
You'd have to read the manga.
I know, I would have to read the manga, but I would have to actually have the manga in order to read the manga.
Good point.
And
I mean, this, you know, and like, and these men who are in this tournament, they're fighting for this championship belt. It's overly golden, it's gaudy, and has like this lion face on it. And one of the guys, you know, there's a father and son that aren't Baki and his dad, but another one. And I don't know their names, you know. And the father, you know, has been, like, in hiding. And his wife, who's all now, like, busted and old, is like, I finally found you. You know, and he's all like, yeah, sugar, I'm here. And once I win that belt, I'm going to make it a pretty necklace for you to wear.
Oh, my God.
Fucking belt is probably really heavy. So the idea of wanting to put... this around some bitch's neck? I don't think so. What the fuck? You know, and then the son's like, the only person bringing the belt home for mama is me, Pa. I mean, it's so fucked up. I mean, why?
Oedipus a
little one. I mean, oh my god. It hurts me. It hurts me to even talk about it. I mean,
I can tell, because you don't get this animated very often.
Oh my god.
In the negative, like, about anything.
Like, animated. I would rather reread the first three volumes of Escaflowne, which I told everyone sucked balls. I would rather read that than watch Baki, the Groppler. I would.
Okay.
And you know, I probably will do it after we're done, because the idea of even watching another episode of Baki the Groppler makes me want to vomit. And with that note...
Jesus Christ.
I mean, for a rating, I'm, you know, maybe the story makes more sense later on. I'm not planning on finding out, because I don't care. You know, if you've watched it and you like it and you want to, you know, contest me, bring it on. I would love to be proven wrong about this series, because frankly, I don't think I'm wrong. And I don't ever feel like I could ever never be wrong. But you know what? I don't think I'm wrong about this. I really don't. So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5.
Wow.
I mean, Baki's face is kind of cute. You know, he's got no neck.
So that's worth,
you know what?
That's worth the candy right
any
there.
Of them do. What?
So that's worth the candy right there?
Yeah, the fact that his face is actually kind of cute. He's not overly, like, built up like the rest of these guys are, but you know.
Right.
And his mother looks kind of butch. You know, she's really thick and she's psychotic, and I think Baki wants to do her. Because, you know, Baki is only...
One?
Yeah, sort of. Because apparently, you know, he's only trying to, be, you know, surpass his dad, you know, to his mother. Oedipus Rex complex! Surpass daddy! Anyway.
And
you know,
mommy's
she's...
panties! Don't forget the mommy's panties, bud.
Yeah, well, I think his mother's packing a cock. Anyway, I won't go into that.
I cannot believe you said that. And
just,
then you're gonna stop. You're like, I think his mom is acting a cock. And now I'm gonna stop talking.
But
that's when your brain goes, I'm gonna stop talking.
I mean, oh my god. Anyway, 2 out of 5. You know, maybe after I've been punched in the face a couple of times and I'm drunk, I'll watch more Baki. But until that day ever comes and I don't fight physically anyway...
You need to be beaten and drunk in order to watch it?
I do. I don't know if anyone else needs to. Maybe I'll put it on and see if Mom will watch it. Because if Mom will watch it, it can't be that bad. I'm sure she'll be like, what is this shit? But anyway... 2 out of 5.
We're switching to the Mom-o-meter. That's pretty bad.
I was not thrilled by this. I'm not thrilled by it. It makes me want to hurl, and hopefully I'll never watch it again.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And I'm never usually pessimistic about pieces, but I was totally pessimistic about this. But I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 Truths that looks like a Guitar Hero, and I'm going to put a Baki the Grappler Sucks sticker on it and pass it to you, Ninja. So what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to take it, actually, and I'm going to turn it into a really cool-looking fucking scythe.
Will you keep the Baki the Grappler Suck sticker on it?
Yeah, I'll put it on the top of the scythe, on the blade.
All right, thank
you. On the big fat part. Does that
thank
work?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as everyone can see Baki the Grappler Sucks.
Yeah, I mean, the reflection, you know, of light bouncing off it, you can't miss it. It's right there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And the reason, yeah, I think we get it. Pandalicious says that Baki the Grappler sucks.
Oh my god. Every form.
Yeah. Okay. Are you do you feel better now?
Yeah.
Now that you got that off you?
Yes.
Do you feel like you've expunged enough?
Yeah.
You've expelled it from your being, from your soul?
Well, I think I have to go to church on Sunday and that will help.
Okay.
And I never go to church, which is, you know. But anyway.
you sure? You're okay now?
Yeah.
So it's really my turn?
Yeah, it's really your turn.
Okay, because I'm going to start now.
Okay.
Okay, great. The reason why I turn the mic of 1,000 Truths into a scythe is because I'm going to talk about Trinity Blood. Surprise! I'm not talking about a video game this week.
Dun, dun, dun! Baker's hot. But anyway!
Please continue.
Well, his voice is hot. All right, so anyway, I have been watching Trinity Blood in a marathon, and I got interested in
linear?
It. Yeah, all the way through. Bing! Because there's only 24 episodes.
Awesome.
So I watched it all the way through, and I had to do it because I got volumes 1 and 2 of the manga put up by Tokyopop.
Thank you, Tokyopop. We love you.
We totally, totally heart you, Tokyopop. Makers of fine manga volumes. Tokyopop.
Next time you're in town, I'll take you out.
I'll even buy dinner. Manga cherry with us. See, that should totally be their catchphrase. That would be an awesome catchphrase. Pop your manga cherry with us.
That's funny. It's like, we'll be gentle and we'll nurture you in only the way Tokyopop
can. We'll love you in the morning.
Yeah, I'll still love you in the morning. Tomorrow. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so moving on. I'm so glad that you sang it and I didn't have to.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah. Basically, the story with Trinity Blood, and the reason why I got obsessed with it, is because it's got vampires.
I love vampires.
I fucking love vampire stories. I know it's cliche because I'm a chick. Blah, blah, blah.
You let me suck your blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We get it.
Okay. I get it. Fine. You win. I like vampire stories. As long as there's at least a halfway plausible plot, you've got my attention when there's vampires on board. Especially when the vampires...
Unlike Queen of the Damned.
Yeah. No, you almost had me at Queen of the Damned.
I like
almost. Yeah.
But only because, you know, the lady vampire was Aaliyah, and she had a hot scene with that white Lestat guy. That was hot.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, moving on. The story in Trinity Blood, I know, you've made my brain go...
I'm sorry. Anyway, so Trinity Blood is about vampires.
Basically, yeah. There's a war that's happened. It's in the near distant future, as a lot of manga tends to be, you know, 400 to 500 years off in the future. There's been a huge war. Humanity is rebuilding itself and got to a point where it's starting to flourish again. And because of the war that happened when humanity was rebuilt, the Vatican, actually, in all honesty, the entire Roman Catholic Church has become a dominant military power.
No, really?
Seriously.
Foreshadow.
Yeah, just like, you know, a little bit.
Like real life?
No, because at least in Trinity Blood, the Pope's not a Nazi. All right, so moving on. A former Nazi. Moving on. What you have is a structure where the two main dominant superpowers in the world are the Vatican and the Methuselah, which are...
Vatican being a power.
Yeah.
Shit.
And the Methuselah, which are vampires.
That's cool.
Okay. So, the Vatican is the capital for the church and the humans, or as the Methuselah call them, the Terrans, because, you know, they're of the land, whatever.
No.
And things are brought over to be vampires by catching a virus that kind of mutates, gives them long life, and then they have this awakening thing and realize what power they actually possess, and... start to basically resent the Terrans because they are the minority and not the majority, and they're being killed by the majority and don't really have a say, and they kind of get a little pissy about that.
They don't have representation.
No.
Taxation.
Yeah. Well, death-sation.
Death-sation.
Yeah, death-sation.
Okay.
So they're like,
I'm intrigued.
We're gonna get the Star of Heaven thing, and we're gonna blow up the Vatican and kill all the Terrans.
Star of Heaven? Is it Jesus?
No, it's not Jesus.
Okay.
It's actually a girl.
Well, no!
Yeah. It's the Holy Grail!
Pussy! No, I'm just kidding. Alright, so... anyway, the main characters of the story are Sister Esther.
Okay.
Hey, she's sweet, she's cute, and she's got a pass. Esther's story is she came to the church because her parents were killed by vampires, and she wanted to exact revenge.
Of course.
Esther is, looking at the manga and looking the way the character is drawn, you'd think that she'd be like 13 or whatever, but of course, you know, because she has boobs and is sometimes seen as a sexual being by other creatures in the anime and in the manga, they have to be like, oh no, she's totally like legal. So whatever the legal age is in your respective country, that's how old Esther is.
Wow.
She couldn't be any more jailbait if, like, they put a diaper and a pacifier in her mouth.
Whoa.
But they make her very cutesy, and the difference between her character in the manga and in the anime is that she's more bubbly, more, you know, kawaii in
kawaii.
The manga. Yeah, than in the series. In the series, she's very serious. As the story progresses, you find that there is, like in the first episode, the first main battle is against Lord Gulia, who is the first vampire that we come up against, and the Vatican actually sends out an agent, they're called AXs, to actually deal with some of the larger vampire leaders in order to try and take them out and get rid of their minions and, you know, have victory over the Methuselah. And the person that they dispatch, the AX that they dispatch, is Father Abel Nightrod. All the names in the series...
Rod.
They're all biblical. Get off the rod part, okay?
Okay.
Focus, Pandalicious. Focus.
Okay.
Now, Abel is hot.
Yes, he is.
Especially for a priest.
Oh, my God.
Totally hot. And he's like a goofball most of the time. Like, throughout the whole series, in both the manga and the anime, he's always complaining about being broke because he's constantly going over budget.
Yeah.
Alright. One thing that's similar about Abel in both the manga and in the anime is that he's totally a goofball. Like, the running gags that are in both are he's constantly bitching about being broke because he's gone over whatever the Vatican has allotted him as his allowance for travel and food. So he never has money for food, so he's always hungry and begging people to feed him and, like, doing that stupid, deformed, squiggly, big eyes, little mouth.
Oh, SD.
Oh, my stomach lines. If only I wasn't so hungry.
I love goofball.
Guinea is a rot. And I love goofball, real. Too. But in your first exposure to the series, you're like, oh my god, this is going to be, like, super kawaii, and it's going to have no plot, no point, and
yeah, but you know what? They did that with Trigun, and Trigun, like, rock.
And that's why I like Trinity Blood, because it's just like Trigun, okay? You have your lead character, who, for the most part, is trying to be the supercilious, you know... well, not supercilious, but just a goofball. But it's because there's some really dark shit that happened before.
Dark shit.
Yeah, totally some dark shit. So I'm going to warn you people right now that I've got a bunch of spoilers, but I got to talk about all of it. Because as you go along, when Lord Gulia finally faces off against Abel through Sister Esther, whose last name is Blanchette, who has a friend named Dimitri.
Ooh.
And, yeah, she thought Dimitri was her friend. Turns out Dimitri's kind of...
evil?
Yeah. And...
did he screw her best friend at that frat party last week?
No worse. He's a Methuselah and is using her to try and kill everybody at the Vatican.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, he's actually part of a group called the Rosencreutz. And they are pretty much an order of bad-ass Methuselah, who pretty much believe in doing whatever it takes, including screwing over their own friends or killing a lot of innocent people in order to try and get rid of the Terrans. And so she feels all betrayed and stuff.
Yeah, I feel betrayed too.
Dimitri's all hot and everything, and he's like, oh, you're so my favorite, and you're always so adorable, so I'm not gonna kill you, but I'm totally, totally gonna lie to you, and you're gonna love it, because you're my favorite, Esther. Even though I'm gonna kill all
of you. It's like, I love you so much that I'm just gonna lie to you repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gulia gets into this battle with Abel, and just when you think that Gulia's like totally gonna suck his blood and Abel's gonna die, a weird thing happens.
What?
You know how in Helsing, Alucard does this thing where he's like releasing restrictions to whatever level.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds.
And then he gets all dark and evil and hot.
Yeah. Well, Abel does the same thing. And
no.
Yeah, and Abel kind of does this thing where he's like, okay, I'm gonna release my nanomachines to this level of restriction, and then a weird thing happens to the priest. He stands up, his hair starts flying straight up in the air, which right there tells you that some bad shit's about to happen, because it's all silver and it's long. It's
whammy!
It's usually in a ponytail, but whenever the nanomachines get released, it's all flying up straight in the air all by itself, and it kind of gathers at the top. And then this scythe comes out of nowhere. It's like a big red
out of
scythe.
His hair?
No, from, like, his back, like, on his side. Like, he puts his hand down, and it just fucking appears in his hand. And then he's all, like, bad. It looks like there's a tornado of wind around him, but there's not. And then Gulia kind of looks at him, and he's like, what the fuck are you? And then he kind of goes like this. He goes, well, you know, humans eat animals. You vampires subsist off of the blood of humans. Doesn't it make sense to you that there's something that might subsist off of the blood of vampires? And then Gulia looks at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? At which point, Abel proceeds to whoop his ass and drink his blood.
That is so cool.
Abel is a Krushnik. And Krushniks are a race of vampires.
That eat other vampires.
Yeah, that eat other vampires.
That is so cool.
Okay, not only that, but this particular Krushnik is in the service of the Vatican.
Go figure.
Because remember, he's a priest. So
that
he must
make
be
any
trying
sense.
To atone for something. See the foreshadowing?
What did he do? Did he, like, eat some really pretty vampire girl or something? Or some human?
Your clothes.
Yeah, aren't I always?
It does involve a girl.
Did he mess with the Holy Grail? That sounds like she'd be a big enough figure to fuck with that he'd be like, damn.
All right, let me keep going down the list.
Okay.
Within the series, you have a bunch of AX officers. They're all different. They all have their own specialty with a weapon, and they all have their own code names. So you have Hugh de Watereau, who's a sword dancer. Oh my god, he's so pretty, blonde hair, waif, doesn't make hardly any noise or movement, but when he whips out his sword, you're all fucking dead kind of guy.
Oh, cool.
You have Kate Scott, who's the Iron Maiden. Oh my god, I'm not even going to go there. Just fucking get
watch
the
it.
Series. You have Trace Akis, who's actually an android. His code name is Gunslinger. Guess what his specialty is?
Guns?
Yeah. You have William Wordsworth, who is the professor. His skill is scientific knowledge. He makes all the gadgets and weapons and shit that all the,
that all the other ones
Vatican
use?
Uses. Exactly.
Okay.
You also have Leon Garcia de Astrias, whose code name is Dandelion. His thing is, okay, he's totally
flowers?
The machismo guy. Yeah. He's totally the machismo guy, always after pussy, which is funny because he's a priest, so you think it would be.
He couldn't do that because it's against being a priest. Well, he'd go after little boys.
Right, but he's always chasing skirts, and he's hot, you know, super suave, Latin, you know, type guy.
Okay.
His weapon is like this little ring thing. It's like, well, you know that thing that Xena used?
The circle thingy?
Yeah, the circle thingy. It's kind of like one of those, but it's smaller.
Does it cut through everything and make
eyes? Yeah, and he's totally badass with it. And they bring him out because he was actually in jail for doing something that Venom didn't like. But when the shit hit the fan, they went and they retrieved him, kind of like the way the Gears of War started, where you're in your cell and they're like, okay, we need you, come on out. And he's like, okey-dokey. Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'll let you finish and then I'll ask you a question.
Thanks. Then we also have the Department of the Inquisition. So they do try to carry over.
Inquisition.
Yeah, what a show. The Inquisition. Here we go.
We're on a mission.
No, we're not on a mission. We're going to stop there. And so you have Brother Pedro and Sister Paula, who are the Knight of Destruction and Lady Death.
Oh, nice.
Pretty much, they don't give a shit what you are if you get in the way of them performing the acts of the Inquisition, which are to find and destroy all Methuselah. They will destroy you as well. They come into play later on. And then there are some members of the Empire of Methuselah who are trying to do some things with the Vatican. So you have people behind both sides of the battle. And this is where the series starts getting deep.
Ooh.
That are trying to force an all-out Armageddon-type war between the Methuselah and the Terran. At the same time, there are people on both sides who are trying to resurrect a truce and peace between the two. So you have one side trying to sabotage the other.
Okay.
Within the new human empire, which is basically the people who sort of, kind of, want the truce to happen, but can't be upfront about wanting the truce to happen.
Oh, they're in the closet truce wanters?
Yeah, Methuselah are the Empress Augusta Veronica, also known as Seth, Micra Fortuna, which is the Duchess of Moldova, and Ion Fortuna, which is the Earl of Memphis. And Ion is one of my favorite characters. When you first meet him, he's a young boy. Kind of reminds me of the blonde kid from Gundam Wing.
Katra?
No. Was that Katra? Yeah.
Yeah. One who had like 49 sisters and was totally effeminate and gay?
No. Katra. The one who they make all the yaoi about being in the
Yes, Troa. Him and Troa. Yeah. Yes.
Because he's
It's not
really
yaoi, it's real. But anyway.
Moving on, because that's another podcast. He's really young and naive about things. He's royalty, he's like 600 years old, but he looks like he's 12.
Of course.
And his big thing is he fucking hates Terrence. But the Empress has asked him to be kind of the emissary to bridging the gap
truce.
Between, yeah. And so he's sent on a mission to actually meet up with a member of the Vatican Party who's traveling in the Byzantine Empire to let her know that the Empress wants to meet with her because she thinks that there needs to be a truce between their two kinds of people.
Yes.
When he shows up, some of the people who are trying to sabotage this from happening, the members of
the bad people,
the Rosencruz, try to blow up a building. And so the members of the Vatican Party think that Ion was the one that was trying to blow up the building, so they try to kill him. Which doesn't really make him feel good about delivering the message.
I'd be a little pissed too.
He gets a little hurt, and Esther's kind of there, and she's trying to kill him, and she tracks him down, and he's like, you filthy Terran, you're going to kill me when I'm like this. And she's like, I'm just trying to do what's right for my people. And then Abel walks in, he's like, Esther, you're not supposed to be here trying to do this. You're so crazy. Let's talk to this guy, find out what's going on. So then the guy's like, well, I still hate you, Terrence, but my empress wants me to deliver this message, so I'm going to, because I'm supposed to be the emissary. And they're like, all right, well, then we'll get you to where you need to go. So they start on the road to get there, and he starts talking to Esther, and he's like, yeah, okay, so why do you hate all Terrans? And she's like, all vampires. And she's like, I don't hate all the Methuselah. She's like, you know, I used to have reasons, but I've been out in the world now, so now I know things are different, and I don't hate everything. I have to get to know people. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever, you're fucking lying, and you're playing me, and I'm hurt, so I need your help, but fuck you, I don't like you. So they're going through trying not to get found by people and shit like that. Then it turns out that Ion's boy, Radu, the Baron of Luxor, who's traveling around with him, is the head of the group that, you know, sabotaged the whole meeting. So he's trying to kill Ion. He's like, yes, you are my comrade, but I'm going to fucking kill you now. And he's like, are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm gonna kill you now. And then Abel's like, oh, no, you're not. And then, like, knocks him on the head and nearly kills him. And we think that Radu has drowned, so they're on a boat. And then the Inquisition guy comes, and he's trying to kill Ion. And Abel's like, just chill for a second. Just watch what has to happen. And then if you really still want to kill everybody, you can. And Ion's like, yeah, you totally can kill me, but first I have to deliver this message. After I get my message to the chick that's the sister of the Pope, if you still have to kill me at that point, I'll gladly turn myself over to you and you can kill me. And then you start softening on Ion and you're like, oh my god, you like actually might be worth something. So then they go on and on, and Esther starts seeing all this good in him. They start hanging out more because Esther and Abel are protecting him while the truth is trying to be resurrected, and he kind of has the thing for Esther. So he goes from completely hating her
to wanting to bang her.
Bad. Like, so bad. Like, oh my god. At one point in time, they get kidnapped, and this is towards the end of the series, and Dimitri, because he fucking sucks.
Yes.
He's actually the puppet master.
He's the one pulling all the strings?
He has the ability to use his special ability to manipulate people. So,
that sucks.
Radu comes back, and you're like, oh my god, you fucking suck, and he's worse than ever. And it turns out, it's not that he's alive, he's actually dead, but
Dimitri is using...
Dietrich is his name, not Dimitri. Dietrich is actually pulling his strings because he's the puppet master and manipulating his body so he can be used to...
Over and over.
Yeah, bring about the star and the destruction of the Vatican. And
that sucks!
And so he has them captured, and they're in this cell, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to leave you two alone in here, but first, because you're my favorite, Esther, I'm going to give you a gun with a bullet, and then I'm going to do this thing to pour Ion, where it basically gives him the hunger so that...
To want to bite
her. And the only thing that's there is her, and she has a gun with a bullet, so that she has to shoot him, and he has to bite her. So they're sitting there talking, and he's trying... Ion's just fighting so hard
not to bite her
and stuff, and they're talking about all the stuff that they've been through and things like that, and Esther's like, I'm not going to shoot you. And he's like, no, for your own sake, you have to do this. Esther, I wouldn't want to ever hurt you, ever. Never, I wouldn't. And he's like on the verge of saying that he loves her and things like that. And Esther just looks him straight in the face. She rips her shirt down to show her neck. And she's like, no, it's okay. Feed on me. You need this.
Shut up.
Okay?
Shut up.
No. So then Ion starts getting closer and closer to her neck. He's like, Esther, you're so wonderful. And he's like crying. Like tears are streaming down his face. Because
he doesn't
want to. Yeah, because he doesn't want to do it. He's like, but Esther, I love... And then just as he's about to say it and bite her neck, and she's all there like, take me, Ion.
And what happens?
Fucking shows up and opens the cage and is like, oh, dude, I am here. It's all good with an antidote. And you're like, son of a bitch.
Oh my god, I want to watch that episode.
Oh my god. So then they get out and they're like, all right, we're going to track down Dietrich and we're not going to let the Star of Power, you know, get
Star of Heaven.
Yeah, the Star of Heaven destroy everything, and because that would be bad, especially because now a lot of the Methuselah actually want the peace with the Terrans, and blase, blase. So,
That's so cool. I want to watch that now. Yes. I can totally, like, picture that all coming into play in my mind, and that looks so hot.
Well, and it gets even better because you find out that, obviously, Abel isn't the only Krushnik. Because whenever he releases his nanobox, he always says Krushnik 02 release of nanobot. So
zero
you know
two,
that there's
got to be at least one.
A 01. So coming back to the whole Trigon thing, Abel has
a brother. Cain!
Yes, Cain.
But didn't Cain kill Abel in the biblical story? Or was it the other way
Remember
around?
Remember I said the things are all biblical? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Cain.
Cain evil.
Because, yeah, Cain is evil. And guess what Cain is? Cain is the freaking leader of the Rosencrantz.
Shut up.
Nope.
That's, oh no.
Then you find out through the flashbacks that there are 4 Krushniks. And the Krushniks came to be because they were made in outer space.
So they're aliens?
Not really. They were humans, but they did some tests on them and made them Krushniks.
So they were humans.
Yeah, they were humans.
Became vampires and came back to Earth?
Well, when they made Krushniks, right?
Yeah.
Well, the virus that they were
exposed
working on that wasn't supposed to make them, like, have to feed. It was supposed to just make them, like, superhumans. Kind of backfired. So then they had these 4 Krushniks.
Right.
Cain.
Abel.
And then Seth.
Seth is one, too?
Is a girl, yeah.
Yep. Is there another girl, too? Make
it
even.
Yeah, the mother figure.
Mother.
Because even though she was made last, she was the oldest of the group, so she was kind of the mother figure. Because
right.
Cain and Abel were twins, and Seth is younger, and the oldest one, Lilith.
Lilith is the mother of all demons.
Yeah.
In blood sense. Wasn't she one of the wives of Adam? And Adam was like, oh, hell no.
Yes.
Oh.
And we only see Lilith in these flashbacks because Lilith somehow winds up in a tube.
A tube?
We don't know how she winds up in a tube.
Cain? Like, is it a big tube where, like, her body's, like, floating in, like, that weird,
yes.
like, glowing gelatin
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
And Abel, we see mourning over her in the tube for, like, 900 years. And he and Cain were kind of fighting about it. And then they left and they all came to Earth. Okay, so mad spoiler alerts, people.
So, wait, does that mean Lilith is still on, like, Mars?
Yes. In the tube.
In a tube. Okay. All right. This is so exciting.
So here's the rest of the spoiler alerts, people. So as they were working, trying to fix what they broke in the virus, it mutated into the virus that made vampires. And then they found out that their Krushniks actually fed on the vampires. So they were like, oh no, we can't let you guys go down to Earth because you're going to wreak all this
you're
havoc.
The vampires.
You're like super, super human. And these are just regular humans. And then there was the war and shit. And then the vampires were, you know, 50-50 with the humans. So then the Krushniks are like, well, dude, maybe we ought to go down there and intervene. Because somebody needs to keep these bitches in check.
Let's eat some, too, because we're hungry.
Well, depending upon the person.
Yeah.
They like to or not. Abel rarely feeds on the blood of vampires. Only if he's hurt really bad and needs to regenerate will he eat.
Vampires.
Otherwise, he won't do it. So, in a sense, he's weaker than Cain.
Because
Cain feeds every fucking time he gets a chance to.
That makes sense, since Cain is evil.
Yeah. Then we find out that the Empress of the Methuselah is actually Seth. Yeah, Seth's last name is Nightrod.
So, are they all last name Nightrod?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Empress of the Methuselah is Abel's younger sister.
Sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why she wants peace. Because she's like, well, if my younger brother believes in the Terrans, then
I believe in the Terrans.
Should be friends with them because I believe in the Terrans. And she's so cute. She's kind of like, if you've ever seen Itawari Ramono, the younger sister. Because she's tiny and she wears this cute little emerald green outfit. Seth is adorable, but she's also badass. When she transforms into her Krushnik form, Oh my god, she's scary.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see that.
Okay. So it all culminates in this huge battle. At the end, Dietrich's like, yeah, this is who I'm serving. And you see Kane, and he's all dressed in white, kind of like Bash's brother.
And also like the Aeon from Chrono Crusade.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, everything's great. And Dietrich's like, yeah, and we're going to totally kick your ass. And Kane's like, well, yeah, well, hold on just a second. And kills Dietrich to drink his blood.
Oh, does he eat him?
Yeah. He's like, Master, why? And he's like, oh, you totally didn't think that you were getting in on this shit, right? Like, owned. Right. And now, Abel, I'm going to kick your ass. Because
wow.
While this is all happening, you know, the Star of Heaven is starting to fall. And then we find out that Esther is actually the Queen of Albion, which is the nation that the Vatican's in. She's actually hidden at birth so that she wouldn't be killed, because only she has the power to stop the Star.
The Star of Heaven.
Yeah, and she's like, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here.
Just a little chick. And they're like, no, it's you. You are the true Queen of Albion, and only you can save us all. And she's like, nuh-uh. They're like, yeah.
Quit playing with me. Where's the camera?
And they're like, see the star birthmark on your body? Adoy,
was it on her boob?
No, it's actually on her the middle of her lower back.
Oh, all right. Because you always try to put something on boobies.
Oh, no. You do see boobs in the series. Because, okay. You know, you only get to see her lower back when she's actually taking the bath. Which, she takes baths with people a lot.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Like, with one of the Methuselah that's on the good side, who's a chick, and it's totally hot. She's like, the Duchess of Moldova. She's like, okay, well, you totally need to relax, Esther. And you're a guest of the Empress, so let's take a bath.
I must tell you everything. No,
yes.
I'm just kidding.
I must tell you everything. Let's take a bath. So they get
Let's
naked,
go bathe.
And they get in the tub. And then her boobs are bouncing and they're talking about all this serious stuff. And you're just like, yeah, I guess you really can only have a serious conversation when you're in the tub.
Yeah, apparently.
So, long story short, the good guys win.
Yay, that makes sense.
Kane kills Abel. And is about to win. And then Bloody Mary, who is Mary, the sister of the Pope. By the way, the Pope's only like 13. He's a young boy. And so his older brother and older sister are actually helping him, you know, with all of his
But wait, wasn't Bloody Mary Mary Queen of Scots?
Yeah, she was. But they called Bloody Mary Mary the sister of the Pope. So anyway, so she's like, I really didn't want to have to do this, but we need Abel, so I gotta do this. So she goes to his coffin, because they got all these flowers and shit.
Because he's dead.
And she's like, yeah, we need you. I'm sorry, my friend. I have to wake you from your rest. So she leaves. She gets this tube thing, and it's kind of like all black and glowy and shit.
Yeah.
And she gives it to the gunslinger, Tracy Keyes, and she's like, okay, you know what to do. And he's like, yes, ma'am, mission accepted. And you're like, what the fuck is with the tube?
Right.
So he shows up at the church, and Esther's, like, draped over the coffin because she's been there crying for, like, days. And he's like, Esther, you need to go and be safe now. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to fight because that's what he would want me to do, protect people, and leaves the church. And he's like, okay, proceeding with orders from Mary, blah, 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 blah. Opens
right.
up the coffin and pours the shit that's in the tube in the coffin. And you're like,
isn't
what?
Like a shake and bake?
I'm like, what's in the tube? No. Okay, it turns out it's blood from Lilith.
Shut up.
Yeah, that brings Abel back to life. Not only does it bring him back to life, but he's like
full
better ass than ever. And
oh
then
God.
There's like this mega mammoth battle. Like he's all black and blue and his scythe's even bigger. And Kane's like, oh, I'm going to whip your ass again. And Abel's like, oh yeah?
Oh,
so
yeah.
They have this massive battle. Like, you know, just a battle in Bleach where like you just see like dots whenever they clash in the sky.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to watch them fight. And meanwhile, over in the corner, Esther's like, okay, I guess I am the Queen of Albion, so I'm gonna stop the Star of Heaven from like destroying everything. And
so you guys just do what you're doing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
you
go
keep
do this.
Doing what you're doing. I'm gonna go deal with this thing over here, and we'll catch up later. So they keep having this mammoth battle, and everybody down below is, like, trying to watch it and shit like that. War's totally over, because the
queen is all watching.
Yeah, that's it. And they're watching this battle. The thing fucking ends, and you're like, oh my god, I think they both died, because you see, like, this explosion in space. Because they both sprouted wings, and they're fighting and shit. And you're like, oh my god, that was, like, the awesomest battle ever. And you expect to, like, Trigon either see a victor or see a grave and somebody visiting the grave.
Right.
And there is somebody that gets a visit at the grave, but it's Abel actually visiting somebody's grave, and you're just like, oh. Holy shit. Did he kill Cain?
Right. And totally go against biblical teachings?
Yeah. Totally not Cain's grave. So then you're like,
who is it? Is it Esther?
No, it's not Esther, because she's the Queen of Albion. I can't remember whose grave it was, but it's not important. The battle was a fucking draw. So really? The last episode ends with Abel going out to search and find Cain so they can finish the battle. And he's being followed by Ion. So he finally stops at one point and is like, I can't ask you to come with me. And he's like, I don't care. I have to do this. I have to protect the people that I love.
Meaning Esther.
And Abel looks at him, and he looks at Abel, and he's like, I understand. And boy, am I hungry! And they start walking down the path. And that's how the fucking episode ends. Episode 24.
Oh my god!
And you're
that
like,
is
you
so
son
awesome.
Of a...
You do realize that they probably left that open so that they can do an OVA where he battles.
Well,
Cain
they have
finally.
To do an OVA, because originally this was done by, what's the name? I'm gonna butcher it so bad. Sanao Yoshida. But Sanao had blockage in his lungs and died at 34. So the partner that Sanao worked with to do Ragnarok was asked to come in and complete the volumes of the novels, which
right.
spawned the manga, which spawned the anime. So I suspect, because Studio Gonzo did the anime, that they left it open so they could do an OVA or continue on with the story.
Or do another season.
Right, because in the novel form, you have the series that's called Ram and the series that's called Rom. So, like, Romulus versus Remus, that kind of
right,
deal.
That was a mythology thing, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Roman mythology. A lot of it is based in mythology, which is what I like. There are a lot of light moments, but for the most part, Trinity Blood is really dark and gets really deep because it's all about betrayal and learning not to judge books by their covers but by their content, which
unless
I absolutely...
Unless it's porn.
Yeah, unless it's porn. But it's not. So, I actually haven't figured it out, seeing as I've been talking about it for pretty much the length of the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
I absolutely love Trinity Blood, both the manga and the anime. The manga actually is a little lighter than the anime series, in all honesty. There's a lot more bubbly pieces, they have additional characters, and it's kind of light. A lot of the darkness is still there, but there are so many more pieces of things that are light or add brevity to the thing that it's not as focused on the betrayal things and the dark elements, you know, the Order of the Rosencruz that's trying to do some, you know, insidious things to the Vatican. If the Vatican's actually motivated by good or not, there's an attempt on the life of the Pope by his uncle, who was working with the Rosencruz because he didn't get to be picked to be Pope. I mean, there's all kinds of betrayal. You never know who can trust whom other than Abel, because one of the things that he tells everyone that he helps on his travels is, I am here for you. I support you. I'm on your side. And that's something that wins people over as he comes in contact with people. So I just find it to be a really, really rewarding story that just kind of has vampires from space tacked onto it.
Ooh. I want to buy this anime too.
So I give it a 4 out of 5.
Only a 4 out of 5.
And the only reason why I don't give it a total 5 is because I need 26 episodes, because they should have started the second arc with Abel actually going after Cain and not make me have to search the web to figure out that that's what they were doing.
Okay.
That's my only complaint. So, in all honesty, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. I'll only knock them a half for doing that. Because they made me interested now in the next arc, and they need to hurry up and fucking do it.
Well, you
so
know,
I get it.
creator kind of died. Can't you give him some slack?
I'm not talking about the creator. The creator died before the anime was made. Studio Gonzo made the anime.
Oh.
In 2006.
I was about to say, because, you know, the creator, you know, if he dies...
Yeah, I totally do mean no disrespect to Yushi-san, okay? I mean, just amazing, amazing stuff with the original intellectual property. But Gonzo licensed it and made this in 2006. So the second arc needs to happen. They brought in other people to work on the story because the manga was finished by... I had it written down someplace, but now I can't look it. If you go to Wikipedia, you can find it out. The dude that worked with Yoshida-san on Ragnarok. So they've brought people in to finish the story, take it to new places, and make new events. So it shouldn't be as hard to bring in either that same group of people that did the story the first go-around to finish it, or work with a new group to take it in another direction. I mean, how many anime series do you know that the original person that came up with the intellectual property that made the manga or the thing that ran in Shonen Jump or whatever other little magazine series, they worked with a completely different team when they did the anime and took the story in a completely different direction?
Good point.
I mean, it happens a lot. So there's no reason why, since they have licensed the property, that they can't continue and finish the story. I know that it's not Yoshida-san's vision, but it needs to be done because I have money that I need to spend, and I need a conclusion.
You need to spend it on that.
I need a conclusion, and I will spend my money on that.
Wow. Okay.
And then the last little bit of stuff that I have, now that I've worn myself out, because I am, you know, the resident game girl, so I can't leave a podcast without mentioning some game stuff.
Yes, you could.
No, I totally can't. Just in case you missed it, you're living in a rock, or somebody, you know, beat you over the head and you've been in a coma. Anyone who purchased Crackdown, the Halo 3 beta is available now, so you can go to Xbox Live and download it, and frag me, because I suck at Halo. I've always sucked at Halo, and as the beta showed me today, I continue to suck at Halo. So if you want easy target practice, just find Ninja Sista, because I'm fraggable. Also,
are you good now?
No. Double Dragon, totally hit Xbox Live in the arcade. Go buy it. Play it. Love it. It's old school goodness at its best. And finally, Ninja Gaiden Sigma. Ninja Gaiden Sigma, however you want to say it, PlayStation 3. It's going to be out July 3rd. So don't say I never did anything for you.
Oh my god, that's my very special day.
Yes. Yes. I know it's your very special day. And I'll be buying myself something on it.
You know, that's not cool.
Totally cool.
Not cool.
Yeah, totally cool. You gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or the short address. What's that short address, Panda?
ESH.mobi.
And how do you spell that?
ESH.mobi.
Fantastic. And that address gets you to the long one. So if you're playing the drinking game, which we're making rules for the ESH podcast drinking game, people, so be on the lookout for that.
Oh my god, I would love to play that.
Yeah, yeah, I've just about got the rules finished so that, you know, I had a set, but I was like, oh my god, if anybody ever actually plays this game,
they would
alcohol
die.
Poisoning, so I need to read these rules. But the drinking game is coming. Hit us up on the website, comment on our posts, read the stuff. If you like it, let us know. If you don't, let us know. Or if you have something that maybe we haven't heard about and you want to tip it to us, just go to the Hit Us Up link, fill out the form, and let us know. We can't...
Oh, I'm running out of material.
The hell you are. you're such a liar.
I know.
But tip us. You could win candy, or a t-shirt, or even something more cool. I don't know.
Yeah,
yet,
like we're doing me. It.
No, I'm totally not giving away Pandalicious. You can't win Pandalicious or the interwebs through our website, but you could win candy and be the candy bitch of the week. The shout-out goes to Velocity Micro.
Because
makers,
they rock.
They do. They fucking rock. They make bomb-ass gaming machines. I absolutely love this machine that they made for me. It's just phenomenal. I couldn't ask for a nicer...
Anything more...
Yeah, I really couldn't. I really couldn't. So if you need a gaming machine, and especially you're looking at a laptop that can run Vista Ultimate without bitching at you, Check out Velocity Micro at velocitymicro.com and tell them that the bitches from the Electric Sisterhood sent you, because they make bomb-ass video gaming, mobile, and home PCs, desktops and laptops, and
all types of tops.
Yeah. Except the halter tops. They totally don't make halter tops. That's so don't go to velocitymicro.com and expect to find halter tops.
Or tube tops.
Yeah. Or stove tops.
You might find some tank tops.
No, you totally won't find tank tops. Or flip-flops. So with that, I'm going to say the podcast is toast.
It's toast.
What are you doing with your toast, Pandalicious?
I'm going to eat it really fast and then, like, choke on it and grab water like they do in animes. They do do that.
I know.
They'll eat you fast and they'll, like, choke and then they'll drink water.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo. What are you doing with your toast?
I'm not doo-dooing on it. That's
what are you doing?
I'm actually going to take my toast and I'm going to cut it up into little squares and I'm going to put it on the bottom of my bento box and I'm going to put some celery in there and I'm going to pretend that it's stovetop stuffing. And then on the top layer of my bento box, I'm going to put some rice balls. I'm gonna walk around and be like, I have a bento box. You see? Look, I have toast. Bento!
Yeah, the bento I got you from Anime Boston.
I know, because you're wrong.
Because it was... Yeah, I know. I don't like to brag or anything, though.
The fuck you don't, in any event. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
And we're out.